Earlier this last week, for a few days, I was blessed to be with my companion priests, our association. We do kind of we tried a new thing in November instead of in January, having a few days of recreation together that we call Villa. And we had a great time up by Granby and from euchre to skiing to pickleball, things like that. And it was just good because very often when we get together, we're talking about weighty topics. You know, we're engaged in how do we grow as priests and things like that. And it's nice to have a few days, kind of pressure relief valve days, kind of together as a community, just enjoying that. But in the midst of that, along with that, you know, one thing we also do is our companions' holy hour. We do a holy hour together as well as Mass every day when we're together. And that really is such a bedrock for us of having that time of prayer together. It's a time that, you know, is joyful. There is adoration, you know, our Lord is there in the Blessed Sacrament. There's, during that hour, time of singing and praise. There's the praying of Scripture through the Liturgy of the Hours as well. And then there's a hefty dose of silence as well to just be before the Lord. But it is, and it's meant to be, a jubilant time because indeed the Lord has come. And we experience that, you know, in that beautiful unveiling moment of our Lord with us in adoration. That's what this season is all about. Advent, advenire. It means to come to, not just simply to come, but to come to someone or somewhere. And Advent is about the coming of the Lord to us. You know, there's our kind of place in that reality. And we really celebrate two different coming of the Lord to us in this time. The first, of course, being the coming of the Lord in the flesh when he came, the Nativity of Christ, which we'll then celebrate in joyful and solemn ways at the end of this month. But also as well, the church has grown, you know, in this devotion, in this understanding and needing a time to ponder again that the Lord will also come again in the future in glory. At the time of the second coming. And that's really what our readings point us towards this week, this very first week of Advent. But given these two comings, that the Lord has come, he's come in the flesh, and the Lord will come in glory, the church describes the season saying, for these two reasons, these two comings of the Lord, Advent is a period of devout and expectant delight. Expectant delight. I think, okay, we can kind of get the picture of that, you know, with Christmas, you know, but expectant delight as well. And is that kind of the popular vision and reaction to the second coming? Yet the Christian attitude for the second coming should be exactly that. As Jesus tells us, but when these signs begin to happen, stand erect. Now, don't scurry into your bunker, your bomb shelter, or something like that. Stand erect and raise your heads because your redemption is at hand. That word redemption, apolotrosis in Greek, has a specific meaning. It's not redemption like, you know, redeeming a coupon or something like that. It means to liberate a slave, to set someone free from bondage. And so in that second coming, you know, we are then set free from the hardships of this life, from temptations, from the onslaught of evil, from my own weakness and inclination towards sin. And God is faithful. He will bring that about. We do not know the day or the hour, but our first reading from Jeremiah, where it speaks about that the Lord says the days are coming and I'll fulfill the promise. We see in that first coming of the Lord, how he fulfilled all those promises of the prophets of old. And so rejoicing in his first coming, that gives us confidence to hope then in this great second coming as well. That Christian spirit about it, so different from how Jesus describes kind of the rest of the world. All those wedded to the world who are dismayed and frightful about that. So different from those who have become drowsy from worldly distractions, and that day will catch them by surprise like a trap. And so we have this real reason for devout and expectant delight, hopeful anticipation that our Lord will come again. But Christians should not be complacent. And Jesus drives that home again and again. He tells us, be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength. Now, the strength to stand before the Son of Man at the end. Now, whenever the second coming happens, however that unfolds, the truth is that the Lord Jesus does come for every soul. We each will have our appointed hour of encounter with him at the close of our life, and we do not know the time or the day of that. But just this week, I was involved in kind of two realities. Some parishioner parents lost their adult son due to a sudden heart attack. I went to visit another man, a gentleman who regrettably, you know, tragically fell off the roof of his house and was dying and has now died. We don't know exactly when the second coming will be for us, but we must be vigilant and prepared. And so Advent is kind of like a practice time to improve on that vigilance, that expectant, that devout hope, that focus on the Lord. In our second reading, St. Paul wants the Thessalonians to be ready in one key way, and I think this is important. He tells the Thessalonians about this when he's speaking about the return of the Lord. He says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love. That's really what the readiness consists of. And then they'll be blameless in holiness at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his holy ones. And so Advent season, with that eye towards the second coming of the Lord, it is a time of prayer and an increase in love. Prayer that our Lord calls us to, an increase in love as St. Paul instructs us, that we may be ready and able to delight in the coming of the Lord, both that he has come and also that he will come again. And so thinking about that prayer and that increase in love, I think those are two great things to really focus on in this time. Think about perhaps what's a concrete way that you can increase in love. You know, is it some gracious, magnanimous deed towards another? Is it being simply kind and gracious to someone in their weakness? Is it some kind of act of mercy, some almsgiving? But, you know, there's certainly people right around us that we can extend that love to. Is it some kind of encouragement to give? Is it really expressing intentionally some kind of gratitude towards another? You know, there's many different ways, and the way that we increase in love is by practicing love. So what's one concrete way of loving more, an increase in love that you can do over just these short 4 weeks? You know, and don't scout it all over. Maybe just, you know, we need to improve in a very concrete way, in a very particular way, and that's how we grow in love step by step, rather than kind of just a broad, kind of a nebulous, kind of hoping that I'll love better. Pick a concrete way. And then with prayer, you know, to love better, ultimately, we first need God's love. It's God's love that fills us, that forms us, that guides us, that gives us the strength where so often my heart fails in its love, and the Lord's love provides. I often tell people in confession and the council, you know, if they're struggling with loving people, and I note that their prayer life might be a little sparse, we'll put it that way. You know, I tell people, well, if you want to love better, go to the one who is love. If you want to get wet, you got to jump in the pool. And so this increase in love really ties beautifully into that prayer that the Lord exhorts us to. So let me just give you, in closing, two ideas about that prayer. To pray, I think, requires, and it's important in life, to have bedrock prayer times in your life. You know, it can't just be, oh, I talk with the Lord here and there, or you know, when I get around to it, I try to do, you know, some prayer sheet that I have or something. But have a bedrock time of prayer in your life. Just like we really try to have that and we insist on that as companions, knowing that so much of what we are able to do and do as priests depends on that precious time with the Lord. You know, and so I encourage you to think about that and how can you do that. And maybe you have that bedrock in your life. Well, then maybe I follow on with Paul's exhortation. As you're conducting yourselves, do so even more. What I'd propose is that sometimes, you know, a daily rhythm of prayer, you know, can be daunting to make increases in. But maybe look at the span of a week. If I go to adoration once during the week, when's another dedicated prayer time I could have? When's a larger kind of bedrock moment I can have? And the image I give for that is often the Golden Gate Bridge, some kind of suspension bridge, right? It has kind of two main kind of weight-bearing kind of pylons in the middle, kind of anchored, you know? And then it has the cables that are suspended that keep the rest of the bridge, you know, above the water. So too our prayer life. Maybe I have two kind of key bedrock, longer times of prayer each week. And then daily I have more of the briefer but real prayer time that kind of keeps my prayer life suspended and lifted up to the Lord. So think about maybe what can your weekly prayer pattern look like and what are those bedrock moments. And then on the other side, a further challenge, which is one that I'm taking up myself, is the reality that we can become, as Jesus says, drowsy with anxieties of daily life. Hopefully not drunkenness and carousing, but at least anxieties of life definitely can make us drowsy and distant from the Lord. And so one thing my spiritual director, what he proposed was something that he tries to practice, that his founder of his religious order proposes, is to make 7 moments of adoration every day. 7 moments of adoration every day. That moment of adoration, about 30 seconds of simply turning to the Lord. One spiritual writer says it's so important for us daily to look Jesus in the eyes, to really seek his face and to be before him and before his gaze and to turn to him, you know, with real intentionality, with real sincerity. You know, and in those 30 seconds, we can love the Lord with praise, with gratitude, with repentance, with expressing trust and our need for his help. Maybe simply devout silence as good friends can be together. But just these little kind of micro adorations, doing these 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there, those can be very beautiful, you know. And I have to admit, though, you know, the day gets busy. The day kind of sweeps along, and so it can be challenging, and I don't successfully do that. And yes, I celebrate Mass, I have the Liturgy of the Hours, different prayer, but those little turns, I think, are a great challenge because I love to get busy and dive in and nail task lists and get after that email and things like that. But turn back to the Lord. So it's something that I think is important for all of us who can have busy lives. Because I think, you know, to turn towards the Lord in those little moments of adoration, you know, it's really entering into an exchange of love with God. It's entering into really the freedom of the moment, of just whatever's going on. The Lord is here. The Lord has come. I receive him. Tasting a bit of that redemption, you know, that Jesus is speaking about, that freedom from the slavery of the moment's needs and urgencies. It's a chance to maybe reframe the moment, you know, the challenge of the moment, the burden, the struggle, to reframe it now with faith that I'm doing this with the Lord and through the Lord and for the Lord. It can be tough to do, but it can really animate our lives and those daily moments of our life, you know, with that love and that Christian spirit. And so I propose to you again that increase of love. Let it be something concrete. And then that growing in prayer, to be able to do those moments of love, to be with the Lord, having those bedrock moments as well as those turns, momentary turns in adoration, to be again with the Lord who loves us and comes to us really again and again. And so may Advent be a period of devout and expectant delight at the coming of the Lord and in all the rich ways that is true. And may he help you to increase in love and prayer.